Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
Hey, I'm excited to be here today. I don't know about you. There's days you're excited about the message I'm going to... There's days I'm excited to preach, and then there's days I'm excited to preach. And today is one of those days. I am so excited to finish up this thought called Divine Direction and how to know the direction God would have for us, how to make decisions, how to clearly understand what's the path God has for me. The number one question I probably get asked as a pastor is, how do I know what God's will is? How do I know what God wants me to do? And so we're talking about divine direction. And today I want to talk about and challenge you with maybe a message that is going to be a catalyst for some of you. In fact, I just want to say, some of you after today, you may never be the same again, because God's going to kind of get you to kick you out of where you're stuck at. Anyone ever been stuck? Maybe you're currently stuck. And so as we talk today about divine direction, I believe the last month, some of you, God's been speaking to you. God's been encouraging you. Last week we talked about having the Spirit prompt us and feel like God is compelling us to do something. And some of you, it might be something new. Maybe God's been asking you to go back to school or go to school. Or maybe he's been challenging to work out or switch jobs or get a job or serve or join a life group or tithe or to start over. Some of you, you've literally got to start over. In fact, before you can step forward to do something new, that might mean you have to step away from something old. And you've maybe heard me say this before. If not, it'd be your first time. But if this wall right here represents my past, and that wall right there represents my future, if I stare at my past, I have my back to what? My future. Some of you today, God might be asking you to turn your back on your past and realize that God can recycle sinners. God can change us. That the old can be gone, the new can come. God might be challenging some of you to start something today like you never have before. And in fact, today I want to talk about how to step out and start something. See, here's the deal. Far too many people, it's the start that stops them. You'll never finish something you don't start. It's the start that stops. And today, I want to talk about faith to start. Faith to step out. Faith to leave the old and step into something new. Faith to say, hey, tomorrow is the grand opening on a new marriage, the one I'm already in, but the best is yet to come. Faith to start. Start healing. Start growing. Start dreaming. Dreamers are allowed here. Today I want to talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a book in the Bible where Nehemiah started something big, but I want to give you history of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an Israelite, a God-fearing man. He was serving the king in Babylonia. And there was a Babylonian exile, and the Israelites were told to obey God. They consistently disobeyed God. They worshiped false gods. God allowed the Babylonians to come in and tore down the wall around Jerusalem. They tore down the temple, and the walls of Jerusalem had been down for 140 years. The temple remained in ruin. Jerusalem was vulnerable. It was embarrassing. In one day, Nehemiah, a cupbearer, had heard the news about Jerusalem, and he got a divine burden. Something that so moved him. It was a burden that was heavy on his heart. That for 140 years the walls had been in ruin, and there was something he couldn't get away from, and so he got this divine burden. I want to say that sometimes God will often give you a divine burden to give you divine direction. We're talking about divine direction, but oftentimes it starts with this burden, this heaviness, this thought that something has to change. Something has to get better. Anyone ever been stuck with that burden that something better change because I don't like what it looks like right now? Could it be that God's given you a divine burden? Something that drives you, something that aches in your heart. I don't know about you, I've got a divine burden. I've got a divine burden for a city who needs to know Jesus. I have a divine burden when I start thinking about 100 plus villages in Alaska under the size. There's 300 plus villages under the size of thousand, and many of them on a consistent basis don't have a church of any faith background. It doesn't matter which one it is. At different times it shifts because someone will come for a season. But there's 150 they believe villages that have no consistent gospel. And how many of you believe that God might call some of us in our church to do something about that? What is it that wakes you up at night and causes you to dream during the day? What's that divine burden that you can't quite get rid of? And here's what I know. Nehemiah had that burden. And you know what he did with that burden? Nehemiah, he couldn't shake it. So Nehemiah fell to his knees and began to ask God what he could do. The divine burden is almost like, you know, anyone here ever old enough here to ever watch Popeye? How many of you guys like Popeye? What did Popeye say? It's all I can stands and I can't stands no more. And then he rips the lid off of his spinach and eats it. And Popeye the Sailor Man. What is it in our hearts and lives that we say, I can't stands it no more. I've got to do something about it. Nehemiah got to that place. And my prayer is, we'd all get to that place where we can't shake it. We can't shake what God's doing. We can't get it off our heart. And there's a tragedy or somebody has to do something, and it might as well be you or I. Now, Nehemiah is a cupbearer. Now, Nehemiah felt called to rebuild the walls of a city, and he wasn't a contractor. How many of you guys want to know God might call you to do something you've never done before? And you might say, what's a cupbearer? A cupbearer is a guy who drinks the wine before the king drinks it to make sure that if someone dies, it's not the king. How'd you like to have that job? What do you do? Well, I'm a wine tester. No, you're not a wine taster. You're the guy that's tasting this. You're the poison tester, is what you are. He's a cupbearer to the king. He's not a builder. And he wanted to start to do something big for God. So what did he start? He started with a burden. Who am I? I'm not a builder. I can't do it. But he prays this prayer. And I want to summarize the prayer for you real quick. You'll find it if you want to read it someday in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 5. But let me summarize it. He says, Lord of heaven, great and awesome God, let your ear be attentive. God, in other words, listen, I confess our sins and the sins of my nation, including my own. They acted wickedly towards you, but God, remember your promises. Give your servant success and favor before the king. He had this divine burden. He said, God, he couldn't shake it. He says, God, I, you're the God of heaven and earth. Will you listen to me? And then he goes, grant me favor. And he goes to the king, because every start should start with prayer. How do we as Jesus followers start something big? I want to talk about that today. How do we start something big? And let me qualify the word big real quick for some of you, like, oh, what about the small stuff? Does God not call about small stuff? No, the big things are the things that God is speaking to you to do. You need to make God's agenda big for you. That's what big means. Not just what you want to do, but what does God want to do through you? That's what makes big. It's the size of the God compelling you and asking you to step out that makes it big. Maybe it's a life group. Maybe it's God speaking to some of you men. And I want to challenge every man in here. I believe every man in here should be a part of the Divine Mentor series we're doing to hear how to hear God's voice as men. So you can be godly men. And if you're a husband, godly husbands. I don't think there's a greater call on you as a man to be. It's not how big of a moose you shoot. It's not how big of a king salmon you reel in Valdez. What matters is, are you a man of God for your home? That's what matters. When it's all said and done, what profits a man to gain the whole world at the end of it, not have a whole lot? So do something big. And again, what is big? What God calls you to do, that's what's big. So how do we do something big? Number one, if you're taking notes, start small. How do you do something big? You start small. I love what the prophet Zechariah said. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Look at that. The Lord rejoices to see what? To see it started. Hey, don't despise the small thing. Start with what you have. Some of us, we don't start because we got our chin on our chest and we wonder why someone else has more than we have or why we don't have their gifts. And God goes, just start with what you have. I'll rejoice when you start. It's like, you know, last week I talked about my boy when he started to walk. But all of our kids look like drunk Frankensteins when they start to walk. You know what I'm talking about? And he gets up and I'm like, oh, yeah, you go, Fulton. I do my inside voice, my kid voice. Go, Fulton. Come on, you can do it. Come on. And I think God's up there going, hey, you're just starting. But come on, go. Proud of you. Come on. Don't despise the day of drunk Frankenstein knees where you try to step out into what God has for you. Just start. He rejoices to see the work begin. Don't be ashamed to do something small. God rejoices when we start. Nehemiah, he built a wall, and history says in 52 days. But what does building a wall look like? Start with a divine burden. Start with prayer. But when you step back from the wall, the wall is the final big thing you see, but there's a whole lot of decisions behind that. Before the wall was finished, there was work that had to happen. And the Bible says they actually built with a tool in one hand and a sword in the other because there was opposition. And before there was opposition, they were working their tails off. And before they worked their tails off, they put the first stone in place. And before they put the first stone in place, Nehemiah had to rally the people to say, let's dream again. We can build a wall. We don't have to stay like this. Before that, it says he investigated Jerusalem at night. He did a midnight ride. When's the last time you walked through your city or your home at midnight to see what it really looks like? But before he investigated by night, he waited 3 days. But before he waited 3 days, he traveled from Susa to Jerusalem, 850 miles on donkeys. And I'd wait for 3 days after I got my butt off a donkey too. But it didn't start there. Before that, he packed his bags. Before that, he talked to the king and had it lined out what he needed. Before that, he spent some time in prayer. See, you don't start doing big things like a wall. You start with prayer. And then the prayer might ask some questions. And after you ask some questions, you might pack some bags and find the donkeys. And then you might go on a journey. And that 850 miles gives you time to think about it. He didn't start off building a wall. He started off packing his bags and talking to a king. He started off small. See, some of us, what we have to maybe do is realize, let's God give me a burden and let's grab a suitcase and pack some underwear and your toothbrush and get ready for what God has for you. But it starts small. Starts small. But Nehemiah gathered the officials, the priests, the nobles, and said to them, it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, then he said to them, you see the trouble we're in? Point it back. Guys, there's a burden. You see the problem here? He had a burden, but he didn't let the burden sit there and expect someone else to fill it and fix it. He had a burden. And he answered, Jerusalem lies in ruins. There's a burden. And its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we'll no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God that was on me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start. Say start. Building. So they began this good work. They started. They just started laying one rock on top of another rock on top of another rock and answered the opposition as it came and worked through the night, and some watched with a sword and some with their trowels. But what happened? It was stone by stone by stone. And they say that in 52 days, it's a miracle that you could build a wall around a city in 52 days. But you know what? It started out with just one small act of saying yes. And they started small. I don't know all the details when God puts a burden on you. I don't know how it's all going to work. All I know is when the Spirit's prompting, there's certain uncertainty, there's going to be challenges ahead, but you don't have to have the faith to finish, friends. You have to have the faith to start. You don't have to have the faith to finish. You have to have the faith to start. 3 years ago, when my family packed up in our little Ford Expedition and drove north and came here, didn't know what was going to happen. I remember the first couple weeks going, oh, I said, maybe you haven't figured this out about me, but I like to clap during worship and I like to express myself. And I'm here going, no one's clapping. And after service, everyone left real quick because I think they're going, oh, what do we do with this? No. But I was driving the other day going, all I know is I had faith to start. And I was driving going, God, what's the burden? I don't know about you. I have a burden for this city. Do you realize the city, they say, is, well, 90 to 100,000 people with the military. But the reality is if you take the military transitions that happen and the university transitions that happen, we'll probably have 160,000 people that call Fairbanks their home in the next 8 years. How many of you guys want to know God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance? That all 160 hear about him. It's not his will that any would fall away from him and not know him. Yeah. Church, do you know we have a big task ahead of us? When I walk through Fairbanks at midnight, I see thousands serving Jesus. I see hundreds of teenagers. In fact, I see this probably is not even big enough for our youth auditorium someday. Because I believe God has a burden for Fairbanks, Alaska, and we're the people God's called to fill it. What keeps you awake at night and causes you to dream during the day? If you don't want to start small, starting small doesn't mean you think small. Starting small says, I just start. It doesn't mean you think small. You might say, I'm thinking big. I want to start big things. Just start what God puts in front of you now. Why wait for how much time has to pass before we step out to the burden God's calling us to? How do you do something big? Don't let the start stop you, friends. You never finish what you don't start. Start small. And number two, take the next step. Take the next step. Start small, take the next step. Start small, don't take the next. Just keep taking the next. What's the next step? I love Nehemiah chapter 2. It says, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about what Nehemiah was doing, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is it? What is this you're doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start building. He had opposition. Let me just tell you right now, if you're here and you start something small, but it's something God has put on your heart, there's probably going to be some opposition. There's going to be some people that question why you're doing it, question your motives, question your heart, question, well, come on, there must be some reason you're doing it. Well, do you have to have a bigger reason than God asked me and put a burden here and I'm doing it, and you might not always understand it, but I'm doing so. There's some of you in here that you've made the faith to start walking with Jesus, but you have friends that go, wait a second here. What do you mean you don't do that anymore? Well, you're starting to walk a different path. And there's going to be opposition. But here's the deal. Take the next step. Yeah. Heidi said it so well. If you're here and you've been coming for a while, but what's the next step? Grow Track's your next step. Hop into it. Learn how God designed you and wired you, and he purposed you to be used in a local church. To do something, you have to take the next step. Pray with us. I love Pastor Bo. How many of you guys love Pastor Bo? And his heart for missions. And, you know, it was a couple months ago, he said, Mark, he said, I'm tired of hearing the same stats you're hearing. We're a part of the Assemblies of God and with district council. And they've been, we've had the Assemblies of God in Alaska for 100 years now. And the first missionary came to Juneau in 1917. 100 years old. I came to Alaska 10 and a half years ago, and I've heard the stat even before I moved up here, 100 plus villages without a consistent gospel witness. We're hearing about it 10 years later, and Pastor Bo came to me and says, Mark, he said, I feel like God has put a burden on my heart. Tell me what you think. He said, I think we should change that stat as a church if no one else is going to do it. And he says, Mark, he said, I think we should have 20 locations by 2030. And you might say, that sounds crazy. It is crazy. But you know something? It starts small. It starts in the Nana. Last week in the Nana, they water baptized 3 people. 2 people gave their life to Jesus, and they had 2 first-time guests in that little church in the Nana. We started small. So in November, Pastor Bo brought to staff. See, the next step, Mark, if we're going to do this, we got to start finding some native families and some folks that might have some road bridges into villages. And so we're going to have a meeting in November at his house with a dozen to 2 dozen, maybe 20 native folks, native leaders, people in our community who may open doors that we don't know that are there so we can impact. But it's a burden. I sure hope that by 2030, if the Lord tarries, that we can change the statistics on some of the websites in our state to say, hey, take those 17 villages off the unreached group because there's now pastors in those communities, or there's traction, there's spiritual witness consistently happening in a home. It might be a home church, but how many believe every village in our state deserves to have a church service? Okay, I think they do. The rest of us, maybe you're just heavy with it. Maybe because the heaviness is because you're supposed to help. We have to start. Maybe you're pregnant with an idea that God is birthing in you. Maybe God's speaking to you about getting in shape or getting out of debt or growing closer to God or serving somewhere, going back to school. You start small, but take the next step. Francis Assisi says this the way. Says, start doing what's necessary, then what's possible, then suddenly you're doing the impossible. Start doing what's necessary, then what's possible. Then suddenly you'll be doing the impossible. Somebody said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe he couldn't, but he'd be the one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, oh, you'll never do that. At least no one ever has done it. But he took off his coat and he took off his hat. And the first thing he knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without doubting or quibbit, he started to sing as he tackled a thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. Nehemiah, one stone, Started small, did the next thing. What's the next thing? And after he realized the wall was done in 52 days, he realized there's a temple that has to be rebuilt, and Ezra needs to bring back the influence of the temple culture and the economy, and they have to rebuild Jerusalem. God's directing you not to look at everything. But what's the next thing you're supposed to do? You don't have to have the faith to finish. You have to have the faith to start. And I want to close with this thought by Paul. Paul said, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. What is God stirring in your heart? Maybe you're in here and you're single and you want to be in a marriage someday, and you just find cycling through relationships and you're tired of what it looks like, and you're going, I've tried lots of things, it doesn't work. Or maybe you're, and maybe a young man or young woman, it's time to say, God, I need to start looking for the person in the right place. And in fact, before I look for the right person, it's time to start being the right person, because how will Mr. Right know what Mrs. Right looks like if Mr. Right's not Mr. Right? Start. Or maybe you're here and you say, I'd like to invest in the kingdom and what God has, but I'm so much in debt. Well, it's time to stop spending, get some help when it comes to budget, or I don't know what God's speaking to you about. Some of you, God's speaking to say, it's time to take the next step with me. Maybe you've never made a commitment to Jesus. I don't know. You don't need faith to finish. You need faith to start. What's the burden God's been putting on your heart? Maybe you're here today and you say, Mark, you're asking me to do something great for God. I don't have a relationship with God. I want to pray with you real quick. If you're here, you do not have a relationship with Jesus. I want to pray with you today. The Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. The Bible says it's appointed once for men to die, and after that, to face judgment. We know that there's an expiration date on the milk carton of all of our lives. We're not promised tomorrow. If you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's as simple as saying, Lord, I've sinned. The Bible says I've sinned, and I have. I've done things wrong. I took a cookie from the cookie jar of life. When I was told not to, I've sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. We've all sinned. Maybe you're here and you want to admit that you're not in right relationship. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he raised from the dead, we'll be saved. If you're here today and don't have a relationship with Jesus, would you bow your heads all across this place, every one of you? You're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but today you want to start one. You're saying, Pastor, today I want to begin a relationship with Jesus like I never have before, but today's my day. I'm simply asking you to wave your hands at me right now. Just wave at me if that's you. Anyone here say, Mark, today I'm taking the step to serve Jesus with everything that's in me. Just wave at me. Is there anybody here today? That's me, Mark. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else wave at me? Say, Mark, that's me. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anybody else? Wave and say, today, Pastor, today's the day. I want to commit my life to Jesus. Would you stand with me all across this place this morning as we close? If you raised your hand because you're not in right relationship with Jesus, but today you want to do that, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, today, I admit I've sinned. I've fallen short of your plan for my life. But today, I want to start over. So I confess my need for you. I'm a sinner, and today I need you. Would you please forgive me for my sins? I invite you to be my Savior, my life leader. Lord, help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, number one, congratulations. The Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven when one person who prays that prayer, one sinner repents, the Bible says. There's more rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents than when 99 people who already go to church. So congratulations. Proud of you. Thank you. And as we sing this song today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to connect with you and help you. So as we sing this song, there's going to be a phone number that comes up on the screen. Simply text prayer to that number right there. And we'll text you back the next 5 days, short videos to talk about this decision you made. And I also want to invite you to join GrowTrack. You can stay for second service. Just go up to GrowTrack. If you came with a friend, tell them what you did. I think they'll probably go with you. They'd be excited about that. Talks about the next steps. Let's sing this song today as we close. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here today. And God, I pray today you'll give people faith to start. Some of you that are here right now, even as I pray that, you sense a burden to start something. And I just want to pray a blessing over that sense, that burden. Lord, I pray as you've given people in here burdens. God, you have a dream for this world, and this world's needs will be met as people respond to the burdens you give them. God, and the divine direction that you want us to walk in is a response to the burdens and the senses of the Spirit that you want us to start. God, give people faith to start. Give people faith to take the next step. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, thanks for coming today. If you have a friend that you feel could benefit from the True North community, would you invite him next week? Love to have you bring a friend. Again, sign up for life groups. It's the core of who we are. You guys have a great week. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week.